I am so excited for you this morning. I'm excited for me, not because I have anything particularly remarkable to teach you about today's scripture lessons, but simply because we all got to hear them. We got to hear that beautiful prophecy from Isaiah. We got to listen to the choir sing that spectacular psalm. And we heard the hopeful opening of Mark's gospel. Now, there are some liturgies where the best response is simply to stay quiet, to keep silence. The Easter Vigil, for one, that big sweeping service that takes us from creation to consummation and across every sea and valley, over every hill and mountain in between, from before life to beyond death, from the flood to the first Eucharist of Easter and Christ's resurrection. It's a fool's errand for a preacher to say anything more than, "Did you just see that? Did you just hear that? Can you believe that?" I feel a little bit like that today, so I hope you will take a moment later to savor and revisit these lessons. But since I have to say something, I want to look first at that most beautiful passage from the prophet Isaiah, the one that inspired Handel to the outermost heights of his talent. "Get thee to a high mountain," the Lord says, and up Handel went, word painting his way, and choirs have been singing his Messiah ever since. Well, I feel like we've been climbing a mountain for a long time now, and we are nowhere near the top. We look up and see only more mountain. And then God arrives. God appears in our darkness. God comes into our stinky COVID locker room like a coach giving us encouragement. Like Coach Taylor in Friday Night Lights, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. "Comfort, oh comfort my people," says the Lord. Like the famed Newt Rockne of Notre Dame telling his team to get out there and win one for the Gipper. "Get you to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings." Like Herb Brooks with his 1980 USA hockey team against the Soviet Union. "You were born to be hockey players, every one of you, and you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Now go out there and take it. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear." Today's scripture gives us strength to forge ahead, to climb mountains and walk through valleys, to look forward with hope and confidence. Because God is promised, a God of power and might, a God of justice and peace. And John the Baptist has come to prepare his way, and we are to follow. We hear of John the Baptist today from the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, as you likely know, is understood by scholars to be the first of the Gospels written, the earliest Gospel. And it famously starts, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Right off the bat, we are to understand that this is an ongoing story. It is still being written. And in some very real ways, we hold the pen. We can choose the story we write. This Thanksgiving, our plans, like the plans of so many others, our plans to gather with friends and family, collapsed under the weight of COVID. We would just be the wiper five around the table. It was a story played out in kitchens and dining rooms everywhere. Big family dinners reduced to small-scale suppers. Turkey trots were canceled. No small-town rivalry football games. No chance to say, "Go Blue Wave." For us, This was also the first Thanksgiving since my mom died, and we were feeling blue about that. So we wrote a new story. We traded our blue for tie-dye yellow and red and fluorescent green, and we ran our own race, the race set before us, the race that life presented. We picked a 5K route across town. George agreed to pick us up at the finish, and then the three boys and I set off, too fast. Without St. Luke's run with the Saints to inspire preparatory miles, my legs were rusty, very rusty. But Silas prepared the way. I just stayed behind him and followed his steps. Two-thirds through, I told the boys to go on, that I was done. But they wouldn't leave me, and their steadfastness gave me strength to keep coming, keep running. We need one another. We need to prepare the way so that those behind may advance. We need to prepare the way so that the least and the lost, the lame and the poor, the scared and the weary know they are not alone. We are all on this road to Bethlehem together. And we can prepare the way for others because God has prepared the way for us. We are, as we say in our commendation, we are sheep of God's own fold, lamb of God's own flock, sinners of God's own redeeming. And as we heard this morning from Isaiah, God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Many of you have heard me speak of Kathy, who changed her name to Victoria, Victoria Watkins. Kathy, now Victoria, spent 17 years unjustly incarcerated. And during that time, she maintained a grace and a hope that was incredible to behold. She was, for me, like John the Baptist, crying in the wilderness. I knew Kathy during the last years of her incarceration before her exoneration and release in 2012. And during those years, she was baptized by full immersion in the prison chapel into the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I've never seen a more radiant faith than hers when she came up out of those waters of baptism. She pledged her life and entrusted her future and justice itself to Jehovah God. She put herself in Jehovah's slipstream and pledged to follow. And in following, she also led. She led me and so many others to new understandings of justice and injustice, of how our system works and when it doesn't, of what true freedom is. She taught me about perseverance and deep faith. Sometimes when it felt to me like there might be more that we mortals could do to bring about that long for justice, to bring that long for justice to bear, Kathy would gently quiet me. Miss Susan, Jehovah will bring down these walls in his own time. Many a visit I'd leave and ask God to strengthen my faith to make it more like Kathy's. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not celebrate Christmas, and so I would presume they do not celebrate Advent either. But the readings from this season, with their images of the next kingdom, their intimations of the final days, remind me of Kathy, in their focus on the end of one kingdom and the coming of another. Kathy's faith held that our current world was ruled by Satan, and so her focus was naturally and understandably towards another kingdom. In her faith, a literal kingdom that would supplant this evil world. It was Jehovah God and he alone who would repair our broken systems. In that, our faiths differed. And and yet we walked the way together. I have sadly lost touch with Kathy since she moved south to be with her brother. I think of her often, and I know in my soul that she is, as she wrote in letter after letter after letter, after a beginning that sounded a lot like St. Paul, praying for me, she would say, "As for me, I am pushing forward, holding on to Jehovah's unwavering hands." During Advent, our church looks forward, looks towards Christ's first coming as a child in the manger in Bethlehem. And we look also for that second coming, set in very motion by the first, when he will come again. So let us be as Isaiah and John the Baptist. Let us be as Kathy and Silas. Let us be as all those inspiring coaches in our lives. Let us encourage one another. Let us prepare the way for the Lord. And by our witness, let us make a way for others. In the name of the one who is the way, Jesus our Lord. Amen.